Hey, do you want to come over and make a pot of tea, bring your favorite crystals? You know, we could talk about our birth charts, spirits, the latest house spells we've been doing. Welcome to the neighborhood. I'm that witch next door. Welcome to another episode of That Witch Podcast. I'm Dani Wright, your host in all things astrology and witchcraft. Welcome to another episode. I am so excited for our guest and very much for our topic today. This is such a sacred topic and part of magic. And it's so meant to be that it hasn't really made its way into the realm of That Witch Podcast yet. It's totally meant to happen now. If you are new here in the neighborhood, you may not know our guest today, but if you are a regular listener or if you are a fellow member of That Witch School, then you are very, very familiar with our wonderful face and guest today. But we have the lovely, enchanting Mary Muse here with us to talk all things art magic today. Hi, my dear.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Dani. I'm so excited to talk about this with you.
Me too. So, Mary came to me with this idea and instantly it was that exact feeling of like, oh my God, how have we not done this before? Because you and I are meant to talk about this together. That's why this is perfect. Mary is a wonderful friend of mine. She's a client of mine. We have done lots of discussion around art magic in our mentorship and our work with one another because you have that beautiful Taurus Venus. This is very, very much a part of your life and your spiritual practice. But Mary is also our official headmistress of tarot in That Witch School, which has been absolutely incredible. She hosts a monthly tarot circle for us, and it has instantly become a favorite of all of the full-time students in That Witch School. Part-time students actually get the replay as well so that they can follow along and do the exercises with us. I love that you are so like fit for headmistress of tarot. We are loving it.
It's been so fun. It's just so nice to like have a little space for everybody to connect individually, but together as a group with the tarot. Like, it's very individualized, but it's also so powerful to be in a group of witches that are just like, oh, so open to working with their intuition. It's been really lovely to see how like vulnerable and like powerful everybody is in that circle.
Yes, we have really built a very solid foundation of a community in the school now that we are almost officially 2 years old, which is mind-blowing to think about. We are
so
almost
exciting.
officially. Well, by the time everyone hears this, we will be past the spring equinox because that's the anniversary of That Witch School. But now that we have such a solid community, seeing the engagement and the participation and the support that everyone gives each other and how much people are getting out of calls and gatherings like our tarot circle, it's dream comes true stuff. That's for sure. Pretty dang cool.
Thank you.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Thank you for including me. I'm just so happy to be a part of it.
Oh, thank you. So let's get into art magic here. So the first thing I want to ask, especially for anybody that is new and is meeting you for the first time, my dear, first tell us your big three and your personal connection to art magic.
So my big three, I have a Gemini sun, an Aquarius moon, and Pisces rising. I do have a Taurus Venus as well. So there's that little, you know, energy of creativity in there. And art magic to me is such an all-encompassing type of magic. And we talked a little bit about this before we started recording, because I think my definition of art magic is a little different than everybody else's, but I'm really excited to get into that because I think it can be a really connective kind of magic. So you can find things that you're already doing that you can like just incorporate some creativity into. For me, it's been a lot of, I really like to take things that I have around my house. I have a lot of second house energy, especially my Taurus Venus is in my second house. So I like to take things around my house and I like to give them new life. So I will create projects out of like old jewelry. I'll make them into decorations around my house and I'll put them at my altar. And like, those are the first things that come to me when I think of art magic. I think that was like the first intentional art magic that I did, was taking these old like childhood jewelry pieces and incorporating them into my altar space. It was such a lovely practice and I still do it to this day.
That, okay, two things come up for me. First, one of my favorite memories of you, it's got to be within the last year, year and a half. I think the last year, is you had ordered these curtains with vines on them. And when you got them, they just weren't exactly what you had pictured them to be. And we had a call and you were like happily crafting away while we were talking. And you were like, sorry, I'm just like trimming these curtains while we talk. I've been working on it forever. Because it was a lot of very detailed. It's This is the epitome already of art magic, because it's that meditative, very tedious, takes a long time. And not all art magic is that way. But this is, that's a very classic example of it. That patience, that Taurus Venus, that patience, like one snip after another. And when you were done, you had these gorgeous, they turned out so good, these beautiful, like feathery looking green vines as these decorations. And I was like, I instantly wanted to go buy some curtains with vines on them and cut them out and hang them up. They looked so, so good. That's so funny. So first of all, that's what came to mind. But also, not only just now when you were talking, but when I saw you doing that and repurposing the curtains into a decorations, it totally unlocked this inner child memory for me. And I do have some second house energy, shocker, it's Virgo, and my Ceres asteroid is there. And so, which is just very like, for any newbies, that's just like very homey. That just like, it's like, that makes a lot of sense right there. And I used to do that repurposing into decoration and aesthetics totally, totally. And like, you did it in a way as a child that, of course, you wanted it to look good. But think about how much easier it was to like please yourself and your aesthetics back then. And you weren't, we really do learn criticism and self-criticism. And not all criticism is bad by any means, but criticism in the form of, to the extent of, now I'm not going to do this anymore because I'm not good enough, which is definitely my experience. And you know, when we started working together, calling in art magic was where I was at, because it really was something I had been disconnected from for a very, very long time. And it's taken me quite a bit of time to truly come back to and build the practice back into my life and into my spiritual practice. But it has been one of the most inner child healing things in the world for me, because I totally used to do that same thing, that repurposing to like make something pretty that you get to enjoy in your space.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love that you brought up that meeting, because I always remember that too, because I was like, I don't think anybody will mind that I'm doing this. This feels nice. I'm just going to continue to do this. And I'm glad that it brought those things up for you. And I remember that time whenever you were talking to me about how art magic was such a healing thing for you. And it's made me think about all the different healers that I've worked with over the years that have helped me with energy clearing, and specifically with chakras. And I had so many people in my life telling me like throat chakra and sacral chakra stuff are so, so healing for you in all kinds of different ways. And the ways that you access that kind of healing is through creativity. And my old yoga teacher, her name was Kendall. I love her so much. She was the one that was like, yeah, I mean, just get a coloring book or make some stuff on the weekend. It's going to be really good for you. Because I was talking to her about like these blockages that I was experiencing. And she was like, just make something, just create something. And it's really going to open you up. And I've taken that to heart over the years. And I know that, you know, time and time again, it's proven to be true for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really, I resonate with that so much. First of all, Mary and I have all of these little parallels with each other. We always are discovering them. And I also was told by several readers for a period of years, throat chakra work, root chakra, mm-hmm. back and sacral, like you said, mm-hmm. yes. And are you doing anything creative? Do you do anything with your hands? Are you making anything? Totally. And so I want to ask you, and it's funny, we were talking about this right before we recorded, but do your best. How would you define art magic for anybody that this is a like totally brand new concept to?
Right. So I have pretty simple definition, honestly. What I wrote down, because I was thinking about this before our podcast, I wrote down that art magic is any intentional creative thing. So any intentional creative act that gives you a lot of freedom to create art. And I think that that's why I love it so much, because you can find art magic and creative magic in any genre of magic. Like I was saying with like the baking comment, you can make your kitchen magic into art magic by cooking is an art.
Yes.
Cooking is an art and makeup is an art. You know, there's all these things that we can call arts. Art is a very subjective term, I think. So things that you really enjoy creating, look at that as an artistic practice and put some intention behind it. And that's art magic.
Yes, I totally, totally agree with this. There are one thing I noticed when I really intentionally started calling art magic into my life was, and this is very similar to what happened when I just very first embraced being a witch in the first place and started calling in magic. You do discover so many new things, but you also notice so many ways you've already been practicing it.
Oh, yeah.
So many ways that you're like, mm-hmm. oh, I already do that. And art magic is definitely no different. And I definitely had that experience where when you start intentionally working with your creative energy, you'll start noticing the ways that your creative energy has been showing up with or without you noticing it. And it's this really beautiful moment of reconnection. Because for me, I just lived for so long in the perception, I'm not an artist. I am not artistic. I am not good at art. I can't draw, right? That's always the first thing. I can't draw. I can't paint. And really, the truth is, I am not practiced enough to like copy a picture to make something look photorealistic. Or if I do, it's not going to look nearly the quality as someone very skilled and very practiced in that. That's the more accurate thing to say. But what I said instead for years and years, for a couple solid decades, was I am not artistic. I am not an artist. I can't do that. And kept myself very intentionally in a lot of ways. Nope, I can't do that. So I don't participate in any of it. And as soon as I welcomed it back into my life, it was totally a reconnection. Yeah. And yes, in an inner child way, but also very, very similar to like meeting your spirit guides and realizing they've always been there, kind of a thing. You know that feeling I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that your experience is something a lot of people go through because, my background, I was a teacher for a long time. And I actually taught within music. You know, I'm a musician. I play piano. I play a lot of other instruments too, but I was actually an art teacher for a little bit of time. And I used to draw all the time. I had to make a decision in my life whether I wanted to be an art teacher or a music teacher. So I'm very like enmeshed in these things. And as a teacher, especially with little ones, I can't even, it gives me this like rage when I hear people talk about people in their lives, specifically teachers or older people in their lives, said something to a child at some point, like, oh, you're not very good at that. Or, you know, I would stick to this instead or something like that. And these little tiny comments are so, so crushing. And why are we doing this? Why are we telling these children when they are out there discovering things, making things that they love, that make them happy? Why are we trying to tell them, oh, well, you don't need to put energy into this because you're not going to, I don't know, make a living out of it or something. That's a child. They don't need to make a living out of anything. They're just having fun. Like, just let them have fun. And, you know, artists aren't made overnight. You have to practice and spend a lot of time on it. And so, yeah, it makes me like so livid whenever I hear these stories. It makes me hurt for those people because I know that it happens to so many kids and it really stops people from engaging in art or creation or music or whatever it is. You know, it can be, art is, like I said, it encompasses so many things. So anything that you really enjoyed as a child, I think this is a really important point of shadow work to get into. If there's anything in your childhood that you really enjoyed, that you stopped doing because someone said something to you at some point, I think that particular activity can be a really, really healing practice for you as an adult.
Absolutely. When we really started into the episode, like once you had come to me with this idea and we were leading up to our recording date and then we had our conversation before we started recording, all of the thoughts leading up to this for me was how much I'm realizing art is, how hugely important it is to us as human beings. Mm-hmm. Every single one of us. And for so long now, we've categorized it as something that belongs to some human beings.
Right.
When it is something clearly that connect, it's informative. This is one of the biggest things that Mary and I were talking about before the episode. If you do any kind of research into history at all, true deep dive, a huge portion of what you have to do that historians and scholars and archaeologists have had to do for centuries and millennia is study art created by people. Art is wildly informative. We know this on a very academic level, and yet you bring up such a good point about how we've like invalidated the practice of art so much in modern history, so much in the last few centuries, where we're like, that's it, really in the last couple. I mean, before that even, art was revered much, much higher than it is now, and it's become like deemed as like nonsense. And unless you're good at it, it doesn't serve any productive purpose in your life. And again, from the most esteemed academic scholarly levels, we literally know how important art is, even just for the understanding and studying of ourselves as a human species.
It's so important. And art reflects life. Like whatever you see across time that's being created is a reflection of what was happening in that time. And I think like we mentioned this before we started recording, but like if you're a person that doesn't feel comfortable yet making art, whether that's visual art or, you know, whatever kind of stuff you like to create, maybe you like to do photography or something, but if you're not feeling comfortable creating something, then let other artists be inspiring to you. don't fall into the trap of like looking at art and letting it discourage you. Like, oh, I'm never going to be as good as that person, or, you know, something like that. I think that the practice of going to museums can be really kind of meditative, but it can also be so inspiring. And to think that, like, yes, we're looking at these pieces of art and they're really beautiful and they're lovely to look at, but also like, this was made by a person hundreds of years ago, and that person had a life, and that person went through things, and they made these things because of X, Y, Z. And like, there's so much like depth that you can get into there. And like, that's just looking at historical art. But if we're thinking about our own art, like, it really is a reflection of ourselves. And I think that for me, art magic has been this really cathartic kind of practice, because I use it as a release point a lot of the time. Like, I'm a pianist, like I mentioned, and I've been reclaiming that in the last couple of years because I had an injury that prevented me from being able to play for a while. And I didn't think I was going to be able to play for a long time. So I'm in this really cathartic point of my life where I'm reclaiming my artistry as a musician. And I decided, and I had these really deep moments along that journey where I would sit down and try to practice. And because of that injury, I wasn't able to do what I was able to do before. And I knew that was going to happen. I mean, like, I'm not an idiot. I understand I'm not going to be able to just jump right in and play everything that I could play before. But allowing myself to experience that in the moment and really sitting with the feelings that came up, I had such a huge release at this one point. I think it was about a year ago, actually. And I remember just sobbing and sitting there. And as soon as I allowed myself to do that, then all of these really big intuitive messages were coming through to me, just like pinging automatically, just one after the other. And I was like, wow, I just kept playing and I just kept getting all these messages coming through to me when I had gone through a period of like basically not really hearing my intuition very much at all, because I had blocked myself from this creative aspect of myself. So over this last year, I've decided to dedicate my music to the muses and to the goddess. And that practice of really focusing on that and using that as like a guide to creating the music has been such a healing thing for me, and also a very powerful act for me too, because I feel like I'm able to connect more deeply to this kind of sacred ancient energy, because
yes,
it's so connected to goddess energy, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And I think it's just, there's so much to be said there.
So much. First of all, some of the earliest discovered pieces of art are of the goddess and are referred to as Venus statues. Mm-hmm. Look at that. They're crazy old. Like, I'm pretty sure 30,000 years, if I'm not mistaken mm-hmm. on that number. And it's so, so incredibly connected to goddess energy. It doesn't mean that, again, that art magic is only for a certain type of anybody. Right. Mm-hmm. This is about the archetype of that energy. And mm-hmm. this is exactly why I love the story that you shared, because already, like, through our personal experiences that we've shared today, you can already see why art magic is not really a branch of magic that comes with a how-to manual with it. There are infinite ways, truly, to get started, if you will, if you can even use that phrase here. There's so many ways to get started into art magic. Because like we're saying here, so much of art magic is a part of you as a human and a part of you as a soul, I believe. And mm-hmm. we really come into our life incarnation bringing that with us. Mm-hmm. And in so many ways, art itself is the gift of expression in so many yes. ways, is bringing into the physical, bringing into the 3D an experience, a sensation, a memory, something that is totally and completely conceptual and invisible because it lives in a person's mind or body and then becomes this physical thing. That's magic, first of all. That's everything I'm describing. Take the word art out of it. That's magic. That's manifestation right there. But that is what an absolute gift. And so let me ask you this. Especially because you are an Aquarius moon and a Gemini sun, so you naturally take this analytical left brain approach very frequently. You are also very, very comfortable and familiar using your logic center and your left brain approach to a lot of things, but you are also very comfortable in your right brain and receiving, right? Like working with the muses, working with the goddess, like this is really right-brained activation. For those that naturally approach the left-brain logical way, what are some maybe like questions or prompts? Like what are some guidance tools you could give somebody saying, I really don't know how to get started. I feel so detached from this for so long. Where and how can I get started learning what art is even for me in the first place?
That's an important question, I think. There's a lot of ways you could approach this. My first thing that came up to me when you were voicing this question is to ask yourself, what's stopping you? First of all, because you wanna figure out where that roadblock is coming from. And I've actually, this kind of connects into artist blocks. And The Artist Way is a wonderful book if you ever want to get into it. It's
a really powerful book.
And it's totally magical. It's a basically like a journal practice, journaling practice that you use to unlock your creative muscles, I guess. And so I would ask yourself, what is stopping you? Is it your own judgment or is it judgment from other people? Is it a mixture of the two? And kind of like what we were talking about before, I think it can be powerful to go back to the source of that roadblock. If it was really far back in your life, that might be powerful to visit. It can also be painful to visit those things too. So make sure that you're practicing discernment and being really gentle with yourself throughout that process. But figure out what is stopping you. I think a lot of people will find the answer is just judgment in general. You're just judging that what you're going to create is not worth your time. And I'm here to tell you that it is. And first of all, anything that you create does not have to be for anybody else. It doesn't have to be for anybody's consumption. It can just be for you to create, to make you happy. So like my house is an example. I think that if another person came into my house, they didn't know anything about me, they would see my house and go, wow, this is an eccentric person's house. Because it's very like fantastical, you know, it's very fantasy and like super magical. Like there's just so much. I don't know. People would be like, is this a Renaissance fair or something, like just coming into my house? And I could let that make me nervous about having people come over, but really it gives me so much joy and I feel so centered and loved within my home by my home, which feels funny. That's, you know, that's like home magic and hearth magic. But I feel so much power through these things that I've created and the way that I've worked with the aesthetics of my house that I'm not going to allow the judgment of other people to make me stop doing what I'm doing. So like, even though some people might find it kind of, childish the way that I decorate my house. It's me. This is me and I love it. And so I'm going to continue to do it. And so when you can get to that point of having this like faith and pride in what you're creating, it doesn't have to make anybody else feel that. As long as you feel that, then that's the importance of it. And it doesn't need to be this big production either. So it can start really, really small. You can just, like, here's examples of like small ways that I've incorporated art magic into my practices. So I'm a candle magic kind of babe. So I'm always doing candles. I'm always, you know, putting different sigils and stuff on my candles, usually working with planets and zodiac signs, different things. And at one point I was like, I need to do a little bit more creative stuff. So I took an old makeup palette that I hadn't used in like 2 years, and it was probably expired, honestly, but I've held on to it. And I was like, well, let's try to use this. So I mixed it with some of my magical oils. I took that powder and I mixed it up, and I made paints, quote unquote. And I used those to paint a beautiful white candle with flowers. And I just, you know, they're not the best flowers. I haven't painted anything or like drawn flowers in a long time. They're not perfect or anything, but when I finished that little project, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to burn this candle now. I actually didn't ever finish burning that candle because I have it saved on a little altar in my room. But that act was just like so healing and freeing. And it's kind of like, I don't know, it's like this little mindful act that you can do. I think a lot of art that we create in life is mindless. And I think that there's a power with that. I think that it is powerful to just allow yourself to like not think and just make something. But I think that when we want to create art magic, we bring that aspect of mindfulness into the mix. And you might still have this unconscious creative force driving whatever you're making. Mm-hmm. But that aspect of mindfulness is what brings the intention and brings the magic behind it, I think.
Yes, I would definitely agree that the biggest, probably most common thing that holds so many people back is judging the outcome, first of all, before it even comes to fruition, usually. Mm-hmm. But sometimes afterwards too, judging the outcome of whatever it is that you created. And I loved that you said, you know, it doesn't need to be for anybody else. It doesn't need to be this like masterful, genius, amazing thing. It also doesn't have to make sense.
Right.
It also can, there are so many ways that like, I love the example you gave at the end, because we can be doing really mindful art magic by allowing our hand to move with a pencil or a pen or a paintbrush in it without it making any sense. Because sometimes the movement itself, the act itself, is the magic and is what was needed in so many ways. And I experienced that a lot. I finally gave myself, I went and bought a sketchbook. I was like, I'm going to buy, it's not going to have lines on it. It's going to have real paper inside. You know what I mean? I'm like, real sketchbook, because I have a billion and one like notebooks and notepads around here. But I was like, I am going to go buy a real sketchbook with good quality paper that is for drawing shit in it. And then I gave myself permission. I put some messy pages in there on purpose. Yeah. And I was actually just showing this to my daughter. She's Leo sun, Gemini moon, Virgo rising, and raised from a mother where there's plenty of generational patterning here. She definitely is already coming up on her, some of her first experiences with self-criticism. And especially being a Gemini moon, she mimics a lot of things in her life. And a lot of the way she likes to do art is by copying things, whether it's tracing something or looking at it and just copying it. She really, really likes duplicating and mimicking things like that. It's a good way for her to practice. And for a while, she's five for context for everybody. For a while, she already started getting hung up on, I can't draw, it doesn't look as good as that, I'm not going to do it. And I, with the help of Bluey, just that amazing magical show, who had a wonderful art episode that just, it honestly connects so much to art magic. There's been some ways I've been able to find some actually helpful words for her, I think. And I was able to get out my sketchbook, because when she loves to see my drawings. Aww. And that's what I do is I go on because I'm so out of practice because I didn't have the habit of doing it for so long. What's become really enjoyable for me is looking up doodles on Pinterest, especially like tutorials like that step-by-step and duplicating and drawing things and making little collages. And lately I've been doing them. I make sure to do one for every season and it's cool because I've been doing it for a little while. So I have like a little seasonal page for each one. And she being five, and I remember this happening to me too when like teenagers or grownups would show me their drawings and I'd be like, they're so good. They're so good. Oh my God. And so she obviously does that. But then I showed her and I didn't ever purposefully not show her this. I didn't think to until I had watched the Bluey episode, until I'd been thinking about art magic and all of this. And I purposefully went and showed her. I was like, do you want to see my messy pages? I was like, I have messy pages. I need messy pages. Sometimes I don't know what I want to draw yet. Sometimes I want to practice with some colors and color combinations. Sometimes I want to practice with a font that I haven't tried before. And so I took her through. I was like, look at all these messy pages. Almost every single quote unquote, like good page has a practice page or a messy page, one or two pages before it, where I was messing around. And in a lot of ways, when I was listening to you talk, it reminded me of that release. And actually, I think that every time I sit down, I'm letting myself work through any, you know, little energetic blocks that are right there. And once you let, when you let yourself just be messy, when you let yourself be imperfect, it's really incredible what you make. And one thing I definitely want to throw out there for a lot of people, and I wonder if you experience this too, when I'm making it, and this goes for drawing and even something like doing my makeup, that's a really good example.
Yeah.
When I'm doing it, I'm so focused and dedicated into the task, and you've been staring at it, right? Whether, again, it's your face in the mirror or a piece of paper, you are in such a critical mindset of it because you've been staring at it for so long.
Yep.
When I come back, like every day that I finish my makeup, I'm always like, oh my God, whatever, just leave it. It's not that great, but whatever, just leave it. And 99% of the time I come back and I'm like, oh, it looks fine. Oh, it looks fine. I come back to my drawing pages. Oh, these actually look really cute. I thought that those, I drew little rain boots and I was like, oh my God, these rain boots look ridiculous. And then I came back to it and I was like, they look really adorable. You can totally tell they're rain boots. It's very cute. It's a little spring page. It's adorable. Aww. And it really helped like showing her, like my daughter, this process, but it was so positively reinforcing for me to do that review with her because it made me realize like sometimes the other thing you need to do too is step away from creating and then come back and look at it with fresh eyes because you are your own biggest critic.
For sure. And well, there's so many things that are coming up while you're talking about all of this. And that was a beautiful story. And I just want to say, I've heard that Bluey is basically made for the parents as much as it is for the for the kids. So that was just really cute to listen to. Where to even start? When you said critic, it made me think of The Artist's Way. Because in that book, the very first thing that you learn is about your inner critic. And the first practice that they give you within that book is the daily pages or the morning pages. And it's actually, it's really all about what you described, which is just the art of practicing, really, just doing it, not worrying about the product. You're just putting your goal for that daily pages practice is to write 3 pages of anything. It could be a story. It could just be, you know, the first thing that comes to mind to you when you wake up and you just continue to write for 3 pages and you close the book up and that's it. It's like, it's there, it's done. You don't need to judge it. It's just the practice of creating and getting used to sitting in that energy and not allowing the inner critic to make you stop. Because that happens to so many of us all the time. And I think that the inner critic, it's internal for sure, obviously inner, right? But It can come from people in our life early on that kind of led us to have this judgmental voice within ourselves. But I also think that it really, in this day and age, how we are living currently, I think that it comes from places like social media too, because it's very easy for people on social media to be very critical. And if you look in the comment section of pretty much any post, you're always going to see the weird negative comments that are just like, they serve no point other than for these people to just spread their unhappiness to other people. Mm-hmm. Right. But when you, especially if you're an online creator, like it can bog you down. And even if you're not an online creator, but even if you're just witnessing this kind of judgment and criticism being thrown around to everybody, it can get ingrained in you. And I think we get used to kind of like defaulting to that, maybe, because we as humans, we like to be within the in-group, right? Like, we always want to be accepted. We always want to be loved and protected by other people. And so when we see this kind of criticism happening, I think what can happen within us is we go, oh, well, I don't want to be criticized like that person, so I'm not going to do that thing. So that's like, there's a lot of things that tie into this inner critic problem that we have. But I do think that that's the key. Like what you said, is the more that you just create and you allow yourself to do it and take breaks, take steps back. If you are finding that you're really struggling with that inner critic voice, and oh my God, I struggle with that all the time.
Totally.
I've got a Virgo Jupiter in the sixth house. So, oh my God, details are very important to me. And I'm very judgmental sometimes. And I don't want to be that way, but it is my natural default. So I have to take those steps back sometimes. And I'm actually in a space like that right now because I haven't been creating video content like I had been in the past. And I'm taking a break right now because I have found that my inner critic voice is, she's strong. She's running strong right now. So I'm giving myself this space at this moment, this very particular time in my life that I'm just allowing myself to be. And I'm having these creative moments in private for myself right now. And I know I'll get back to a point where I'm more comfortable and ready to share it with the world. But I do think that those times of taking that step back is really important, and to figure out how you can find joy again in what you're creating, especially if you're experiencing this type of artist's block. It's so natural too. I want you to know that, like, I want everybody that's listening to know that literally every kind of artist that you've ever listened to, watched, viewed, has experienced this. They all go through artist's block. It's a very, very universal thing. And we all, you know, experience it in different ways. But whether you call yourself an artist or not, the fact that you don't call yourself an artist probably means that you have an artistic block within you.
Yes.
So that's like the first step.
It's just totally
to
agree.
Let yourself make art. You don't have to identify as an artist. But like the makeup example that you brought up, people don't get good at makeup overnight. Like, you don't just get good at makeup by watching tutorials and never practicing. No. Like, you have to practice. And I didn't used to be as good as doing my makeup as I am now, but it's because I spent a lot of years like learning and practicing and experimenting too. So like, not every single one of the makeup looks that I tried ended up going well.
No.
So, and you don't, you can't
and
judge yourself.
Some days
for
land
that.
Different than others. Some days your hand acts different than others.
Yes, absolutely. And like, sometimes, like, maybe the lighting in your room is just different. Like, it's not as sunny that day. And like, so things just look different. You know, it's just a matter of perspective. And as long as you, it's kindness, it's really kindness, like inner compassion and kindness that it comes down to. And I think that does connect back to that goddess energy. Because like,
totally.
Here's what I think. When I think of this goddess energy and creation and creativity and art magic, think of Mother Nature. She is the first example of like artistic creativity that we can find in our history on this earth.
Yes.
So like, if you look around at nature, it is art. I mean, nature is beautiful. Nature, you don't think of like animals as creating art, and I don't think they're consciously thinking of creating art, but whenever they're creating the things that they're creating, you know, whether it's a spider web or like a beaver dam or something, like that is this notch of creation, and they are very intuitive with what they create, and it's just what they do. And, you know, a spider's not sitting there thinking like, oh man, this web sucks. Maybe they are, I don't know. But it's like, you know, it's, we just have to take examples from nature. Nature doesn't judge itself. You know, one flower isn't judging itself against another flower. They're just existing, and they are beautiful.
Yes.
So that's what we can take that from.
Yes. First of all, this is why for a long time, long before I called myself a witch, long before, I've held the belief, probably since like high school, I've held the belief that there is a possibility, it's maybe a theory, that there is a possibility that animals and plants and other living organisms, we as humans are just so confident, like these are lower level beings, we're the evolved ones. And in so many ways, like, of course they see what they're talking about. Like they have to live in like survival state. There's predator hunting. Sure. I understand all of that. But there is a reason people say ignorance is bliss. And what if it's not ignorance? And what if it's like total acceptance of your reality and your existence? And it's just true present living. I totally, in so many ways, there is a peace and a tranquility and like a serenity in that. In so many ways that we could honestly learn a thing or two from nature, from flora, fauna, from anima. Mm-hmm. Yes, I totally, completely agree with that. One thing too is when it comes to creating, I think that so many people, especially, let me know if I'm calling you out here, my friend, but the people that are really hanging on to, no, I'm not good at it. I'm just not good at art. Mm-hmm. I've never been artsy. I don't do the art thing. I really, really love this foot in the door that you talked about with, and I like the way you said it, the act of going to museums, first of all. Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm also a museum lover, so that just pulls my heartstrings. But also, this intentional act of consumption.
Yeah.
And we are living in a time where because we have so much more available to us, especially visually, than we literally ever have before, it is in a lot of ways almost challenging to be mindful about that. There's a reason why there are so many people out there offering you like help, how to be more mindful, how to be less mindlessly scrolling and stuff like that. And that is something that I would say too, that when I really opened up and called in art magic intentionally again, I've made a point to try and put that in my surroundings and seek out art, whether it's historically, like, you know, very famous art that many scholars and people have been speaking about and discussing, but also just, I love consuming the art that people share of their own on Tumblr and TikTok and Pinterest and Instagram. And there are so many ways to start opening your heart up to creativity and artistry. And you would be so surprised by how much that will flow back to you in inspiration to create. And the next thing you know, again, maybe you don't ever pick up a paintbrush and paint a canvas. That's okay. But maybe what it in turn does make you realize is, oh, this area of my life is my art for me. And if just knowing that I can lean into that, I can practice it really intentionally, like you brought up with cooking. Mm. What I thought of too was astrology and tarot, honestly, these divination practices that, of course, you can't help but approach from a very academic and logical approach, because there is so much to learn, of course. There's so much to learn in the mechanics of it, absolutely. But any astrologer and tarot reader will tell you that it, once you get those basic functionalities down and those building blocks, it really becomes an art form. And this is why every astrologer, every tarot reader, every psychic medium, anybody of these are spiritual arts, quite honestly. Right. They take on their own shape. And that's why some tarot readers read in a way that really deeply resonates with you. And some you're like, I just like do not get this style and it doesn't fit me. It's the same for art types and different artist styles. Exactly.
That's so true. I love the way that you phrase that. That's very true. And I always like to say the art of the tarot. So that's so connected. And I love that you mentioned like social media and who we're following and who we're kind of like surrounding ourselves with online, because that's been a part of my social media experience lately too. I really have been trying to be mindful about who I'm following and who I'm listening to and who I'm watching. And I actually wrote down two people in my little notes for this podcast. So two of the people that really have been inspiring me lately, one of them is, I would call her an artist. She's a makeup artist, but I would just call her an artist too. Her name is Microsoft. So it's like Microsoft, but M-E-I. And she makes these just works of art on her face. And she gets so creative with makeup art that it just blows my mind every time I see the things that she's creating on her face. And it's so cool to see her doing that. And she also documents her failures too. So she'll make a whole video and be like, yeah, I wanted it to look like this, but this is what happened. And I guess that's that. And like, she's not shaming herself about it. It's just like, well, this is how the cookie crumbles. This is what happens. And I think that's so healthy to see, because every artist can tell you like, yeah, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work out and that's okay. You just have to adjust and try it a different way next time. So I love following her, but the biggest influence over this last year for me has been Queen Herbie. She is a rap singer. She does a whole bunch of different things too. She does a lot of aura cleanses and she's a witchy creator. She has a podcast as well. And her big catchphrase is, "We need your art." And she's really trying to tell her audience that it's important. It's important to make art, and it, you know, doesn't matter what kind of art you're making. We need your art. We need more creative people to showcase what they can do, because it is truly this like very human thing, but also this thing that connects us back to nature, like we talked about. And I think like, it's a powerful thing to say. And so I like to spread that viewpoint, because even if you don't think you're the best at creating things, like just create for yourself. You don't have to share it for everybody, but share it for yourself, you know, like do it for yourself. Even if you're a type of person that likes to bake, like just experiment, you know, make something new, do something different, and don't judge yourself for it. This is kind of related, kind of unrelated, but back when we were speaking on nature and art and how it's all connected there, thought back to art history and everything. And I think it's so telling that when we look back in art history, when it comes to the mediums that artists were using, we've used plants and animals for paints for centuries. I mean, the way that we've taken inspiration from the colors that we've seen around us in nature is very tangible. And I mean, of course, we have a lot of synthetic materials these days, but it also, I think it's just powerful to remember and recognize that like nature is what inspired art in the first place. And even when it comes to music or, you know, I don't know, so many different avenues of art, like these early humans were listening and watching the world around them and recreating it in the form of art. And so it's such a human thing to do. And so it's not like an artist thing. It's a human thing. allow yourself to create, allow yourself to have fun with it and not, I don't know. Yeah. It's just this, it's such a deep, cathartic act. I think it can be. And a lot of people journal. I want to note this. A lot of people journal, right? Especially in witchcraft. Mm-hmm. This is a big thing for people that are witches. we do a lot of writing whenever we're doing spells. And I think that that can be a really powerful form of art magic. Things that I've done in the past, I'm even thinking back to like teenage me, whenever yes. I used to have sketchbook upon sketchbook. Sometimes and I was not consciously doing this again. Like this is like that mindless act that I was doing that if, you know, I had put a little bit more intention behind it, I think it could have been healing for me. When I was in those angsty years of my life, and art was one of the one places that I really got a lot of solace, I would like have these tortured pages, you know, in my sketchbook where yes. like it's like broken hearts and like just yes. tears and like I'm just drawing so these raw. Sad aspects, yes. right? And uh-huh, I'm like writing uh-huh. sad words across them, scribbling things out, and like these really raw pages that are not like art that I wanted to show anybody else, but like I would just put this down on a page. And like when we take that into witchcraft, if you take that kind of activity into witchcraft, I think you can make it very powerful for yourself. Whether you're a fire magic kind of lady like me and like to burn things, you can write these things, you can make art and you can burn it. I mean, like you don't have to keep these things either. You can create yeah. ritual out of it and make it a releasing kind of ritual and a powerful, you know, cleanse for yourself. So like, if you are in a period of your life where you're feeling very blocked, maybe the best thing that you can do for yourself is get a piece of paper, write down your feelings about why you don't feel like you can do this certain thing. Don't censor yourself at all. Allow that inner critic to write what they need to get out, and then go through the process of burning that page and releasing that energy. I think that that can be a really powerful way to start this journey if you're feeling really limited.
Absolutely. I'm really glad you brought this up, because the avenue of writing is one that has been very, very familiar and natural to me since I was very young. And I was like unintentionally practicing magic and spell work through poetry for a very yeah. long time without realizing it. A very long time. I knew consciously I was expressing something. I knew I was like bringing up feelings and releasing them. But when I went back and read some of the pages out of old notebooks and journals, it's kind of this wild experience. And I'm like, oh my God, I made that happen later on. And I didn't even realize that, or I did end up calling that in my life, or I did eventually let that go. Mm. Especially surrounding things like heartache, friendship right. breakup, habits I was confronting within myself, memories and wounds and things like that. And I'm so glad you brought up the teenage version of this, because I have always been a humongo journaler. Mm-hmm. And my first like diary, like not one that I, you know, because when I was in like elementary school, I'd forget about it. Mm-hmm. You really don't have as much to express in that way yet. True. But middle school was a very different story. Mm-hmm. Lots of big feelings.
Yes.
And, you know, going back, because there's pages even right now, what, like literally 20 years later when I was 13. Yeah. There are pages that I still remember. They're so vivid in my brain because of the emotion that went into them. Like yeah. I have so much emotional investment in that time. That's why I can picture that page. I remember writing it. I remember almost every single time I went back and I would reread it for myself. And that diary is so funny for me to think about, because that very first one was such pure self-expression. Like it was during a time that I really did not feel safe space anywhere. Yeah. I didn't feel it at home. I didn't feel it in my friendships. It was an extremely isolating time. And honestly, that was the beginning of it that ran through my teenage years. And that became a safe space. And I would think there would be a lot of people that would see their artistic mediums as a safe space that they create for themselves, because the experience itself like creates this little bubble around you. And it's as soon as you were talking about it, like I also have so many of those like raw pages like that didn't make linear sense, you know, it didn't read like a prose paragraph or anything, you know, but it was, there were words, there were images, scribbling out was very intentional, underlining, like I would embellish words there. This diary was one of those with like the handmade paper, you know, and I would purposefully like let the ink bleed through. That was like a big, deep thing I was doing. I remember like letting the ink like bleed through the page. Oh my goodness. And I'm so glad you brought this up, because as soon as you did, it unlocked such a vivid memory of this. And then just recently for the Pisces new moon, I wanted to journal. But I had that feeling that I think happens to a lot of people where you're like, I really want to journal. I'm called to the page and I don't really know what I want to write about. I don't really, and this is so Pisces anyways, this is so Pisces moon. And I'm like, I don't really know words though. Like what do I want to write? Yeah, exactly. And I ended up, I didn't think about it in this way. I just did it intuitively that evening. But you bringing that up and unlocking that old memory, it was totally a parallel of that. And what I did was something I had done so many years ago, where the page for Pisces New Moon in my journal ended up being a lot of keywords, symbols. I purposefully, like with the pen, like connected certain words with like a line to one another. It was totally an intuitive thing that anyone else out of context, of course, it wouldn't, quote, make sense. And even I wouldn't be able to explain it. But at the same time, while I was making it and even like sitting back after and looking at it, it definitely made sense to me. Do you know what I mean? Absolutely. And that is art magic.
Yes. It's like the practice of automatic writing, kind of whenever you just you just allow what comes through to come through. And I remember I learned that for the first time from my tarot teacher, Bahati Life on YouTube. And she talked a lot about automatic writing and how, you know, it doesn't need to make sense. You just need to let what comes through come through. And that was just so beautiful to hear you reflecting back on your journaling experience throughout your life. And I feel like those journals from back in the day, like, That's a grimoire. Like you were writing a grimoire. You just didn't realize. And I love those moments of realizing that. And I actually, you made me think of something that I was doing, not when I was a teen, but when I was in my 20s, I made this choice to really start working on that inner critic voice. And this has been a theme throughout my life. And I'm in a period right now where I'm working on that inner critic voice again. But in my early 20s, after I graduated college, I remember just getting to this point where I was like, I can't live like this anymore. And like, this is too much. Like, it's just too negative. And I found this creator, and she is still on Instagram. Gala Darling is her name. And she's basically a witch. She's an energy worker. And she had this thing called the Radical Self-Love Bible. So the Bible term might be a little triggering for some people. And I think it was for me at the time too, but it was just this, this journal kind of scrapbooking practice that she, it was for free at first. I think you do have to pay to be able to follow this course now, but it was basically this journal prompt system where she asked all these kinds of questions of you, you know, what are your favorite parts about yourself? All these self-love guided kind of questions. And I remember buying a journal. I bought a journal that has this impressionist Claude Monet painting on the outside of it. It's like, this is my self-love Bible. And I did all of the scrapbooking on the inside of it. And it was like such a healing practice for me at that moment. And now that I think back on it, and even though at that time I did not identify as witch, I was doing witchcraft. I just didn't know it. We just weren't calling it that. But that was the first grimoire that I ever made for myself. And it was so powerful just to have this little journal that I was drafting all my love and care into. And so This is why art magic is such a very, very large thing to talk about, because you can do it in so, so many different ways. And if you're a person like me that is a musician, like, your music can be your art, and even just listening to music can be a way, like, yes. Like I said, like the act of going to museum, the act of making playlists and choosing what music you're listening to can also be a way to connect in with that creative energy. And I think it helps you to get into certain mindsets. Like, it's so powerful. There's so many ways. And this is why I think art magic is like one of the most healing forms of magic that you can ever engage in.
I completely, completely agree. And I really think that both mine and Mary's probably biggest intention and hope for this episode is inspiration. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so much not about, art is not so much about a how-to. It is this sharing of our experiences, because the way that you express it through whatever creation mode for you that you pick up first, that is your art magic. That is enough, and that is gorgeous, and that in and of itself is beautiful and sacred. Mm-hmm. So my last question for you then, my dear, would be, what message of inspiration do you want to leave everyone with? Anyone that has definitely been feeling very discouraged, struggles deeply with that inner critic that you yourself are very familiar with, what words would you like to leave them with?
So many words. I have that Pisces rising thing where it's like, oh, I have all the feelings. Can I give you all my feelings? So I would say, first of all, if you're dealing with that inner critic and you're really struggling and you're in this space of your life where you're stopping yourself from doing what makes you happy and what could make you happy, I want to remind you that the stakes are not so high. It's not so serious. Life is a lot more forgiving than we think when we're in that kind of mental space. So I want you to forgive yourself for being in this mental space and to start small and to allow yourself to just start. It doesn't have to, you know, you don't have to make a finished product. You don't have to make a product at all. You know, like, it's just getting used to practicing. Think of it as a beginner kind of mindset. I wore this yellow top today for a little bit of color magic.
Perfect.
And it makes me, I wore it because it reminded me of the Fool card. Okay. So it reminded me of the tarot card, the Fool. And I want you to take on that kind of mindset when it comes to art magic. If you're feeling really blocked, allow yourself to have that beginner's mind. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to make anything look any kind of way or sound or be any kind of way. Just make something. That's it. We need your art. Just make something.
Yes. Oh, I love that so much. And I think that, well, again, you already unlocked so much for just me on a personal level. And I think that that energy in and of itself is going to really come through on this episode for a lot of people, because that really is it right there. Sometimes for me, reconnecting with art magic is joining my daughter and drawing with sidewalk chalk. Sometimes it is the easiest thing in the world. Sometimes it is in the flavors that I'm able to get into a soup. That's my, like, that's like my thing right now. I'm like a soup witch right now. Oh,
soup is amazing.
In my soup era. And it really is already around you and in you. And that's what I hope that this episode awakens for you. So before we close out, my dear, will you please let all of our wonderful people know, how can we find you and follow you out in the world and support you?
You can follow me on my Instagram. It's Making Mary XOXO, or you can visit my website. It's xoxomarymuse.com/links. And I also just wanted to point out, this is so lovely that we're recording this during Venus in Pisces. It's just perfect. It's just absolutely perfect. I know.
It really came through so, so, so naturally. And the day that we're recording, the moon is in Taurus right now. And so there's just, Venus is all around.
Lovely.
I love it.
It's lovely. Thank you so much, Danny.
Yes. Thank you. This was everything I was hoping and so, so, so much more. There's already like... This pinged off so many little spinoff episodes, too, that I want to bring you back for. Primarily to kind of tease everybody, I want to have you back to talk about technology and magic and technology and art, because I think that would be a really fascinating conversation.
Yes.
So we'll definitely
bring Mercury in.
Yes, exactly. I love it. So everybody, if you have any questions, I included links in the show notes below for Mary, for things we talked about, but don't hesitate to reach out to either one of us if you have any questions on today. We are obviously sending you all of our love and our support and inspiration. Can't wait to see what you all put out into this world. Please, of course, make sure that you are staying safe. You're letting yourself have some fun and stay magical out there, my friend. What is that witch school? Well, it's kind of my twist on Patreon. See, for as little as $5 a month, you can get instant access to our entire back catalog of incredible bonus content, like bonus episodes, witchy lessons, a ton of astrology resources, guest teachings, and so much more. But I didn't want to just keep the magic going in between episodes with bonus content. I wanted to keep the learning going. I wanted to keep the community going. So I also offered tiers that opened up opportunity for continued intentional, magical academic learning, as well as opportunity for creating community with like-minded witchy individuals. For just $30 a month, you can get full, complete access to everything inside that witch school, including our exclusive members-only social media platform on Mighty Networks, where right now, witches and energy practitioners and students just like you are all learning, working together, sharing together, and supporting each other. Week in and week out. We talk about the show, we share dreams that we've had, we share each other's tarot readings, and ultimately, we support each other as magical beings in a very anti-magical world. You can join us today at thatwitchnextdoor.com/enroll to learn more and start your enrollment today.